Well, glory be to God. Hallelujah. We're going to talk briefly tonight about the working of miracles. Let's go right over here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where we find the gifts of the Spirit listed. Amen. Let's begin right here in verse 8. You know, the Bible says before we read that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. People dare to stand in pulpits all around the world and say the gifts of the Spirit aren't for today. They passed away with the last apostle. When you have no evidence, they have no evidence, they have no scriptural basis for that teaching at all. Amen? The gifts of the Spirit haven't passed away. The Bible says in Malachi 2:6, I am God, I change not. Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? The gifts of the Spirit are as real today as they were yesterday, and they'll be as real tomorrow as they are today, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, you know you want to see the gifts demonstrated in your midst, don't you? Don't you want to see a miracle? Don't you want to see people get healed? Amen? Don't you want to have special faith imparted for your needs to be met supernaturally? Provision and protection to be provided supernaturally? You know you want it.
Amen.
We are power seekers. We are made, created in the image and in the likeness of God. That's why we pray, because we're power seekers. We want power with God. And the Bible reveals that God's made His power available to us if only we believe. Jesus said, all things are possible if only you will believe. Amen? So we're going to be talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And Paul lists them right here in Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 8. Paul said, for to one is given by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the word of wisdom. What did I say? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, not Romans chapter 12. Amen? There's other gifts of the Spirit in Romans chapter 12. That's probably where that came up in my thinking. And we'll cover those too, but we're not going to cover that here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Thank you for correcting me, Barbara. Amen? Remind me to tip you before you go home. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit. Hallelujah. To another, the gifts of healing. Well, that's what that says right there, but that's printed wrongly there. You see that? Yeah. The King James says, to another, the gifts, plural, of healing, singular. But if you flip your page there in your Kenneth Copeland Bible, and if you don't have a Kenneth Copeland Bible, God will forgive you for that if you get one. Look at over there in verse 28 in your Bible, Helen. It says right here, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings. Plural. See, there's an S on the healings there that should be an S on the healings back here in verse number, where is it? 9. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healings, it should say, by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. Now, notice it's not the gift of miracles. It's the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and self-same Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. Amen? Any of these gifts can manifest in your life at any time. The Holy Spirit says, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit distributes these gifts severally to each individual according to His will. Now, we're going to jump right into the middle of this. I've never done it this way before. We're going to start with the power gifts. Normally, I would start with the revelation gifts, go into the power gifts, and then go into the utterance gifts. There's three groupings of gifts. Amen? There's revelation gifts. Those are gifts that reveal something. There's three of them. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. And then there's the power gifts. They're power gifts because they do something in a very powerful way. Amen? And that is the gift of faith, gifts of healings, plural, and the working of miracles, and then there are the utterance gifts. And they're called utterance gifts, utterance meaning to utter. They're called utterance gifts because they say something. The revelation gifts reveal something. The power gifts do something. The utterance gifts say something. Did you get anything out of that? The revelation gifts say something. The power gifts do something. And the utterance, did I skip that backwards? The revelation gifts reveal something. You just help me out here tonight. Amen. Just like Smith Wigglesworth, they said, he would start off in the flesh ministering and stumble and bumble and make more mistakes until the anointing of God hit him, and then it just get in a groove and go. I find the same thing happens with me. Amen. I'm just trying to find that groove up here. I'm listening on the inside. I'm trying to not bind myself to my notes. I want to say what the Holy Spirit wants me to say. It never comes out like you think it's going to. Amen. The revelation gifts reveal something. The power gifts do something. The utterance gifts say something. The revelation gifts reveal something. The power gifts do something. And the utterance gifts say something. Amen? Now you know that, don't you? Now you can walk out of here tonight saying to yourself, you can lay your head on your pillow tonight when you're in bed and you can say, the revelation gifts reveal something. The power gifts do something, and the utterance gifts say something. That's a real good place to start, amen, when learning about the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to jump right into the middle of the gifts, and we're going to cover the power gift called the working of miracles tonight. Normally, I'd do these in a different order, as I said, but I'm impressed tonight that we're going to talk about the working of miracles. I'm going to give you the definition, amen. We're going to kind of teach through this series. I have a tendency to preach more than teach, amen. You know, teaching's line upon line, precept upon precept. Preaching is more proclamation. I get excited up here. I just start shouting and whooping and hollering, amen. But I'm going to just kind of slow down here a little bit up here, and I'm going to do some teaching. Because I want you to get this. Amen. I want to give you the definition of the working of miracles. And I'm going to go slow so you can write it. Amen. But just because I'm going slow, don't you write slow. You write fast because I have a lot to say slow. Amen. Hallelujah. The working of miracles is a supernatural power that comes from God producing signs and wonders. A supernatural power that comes from God producing signs and wonders. Write faster. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a supernatural power that comes from God, the God of the Bible, by the way. No other false God can produce miracles. Amen. Hallelujah. It produces signs and wonders. And this happens, you want to keep on writing. This is accomplished as God suspends or overrides the laws of nature. When this gift is in operation, God is suspending or overriding the laws of nature. He suspends or overrides the laws of nature. Amen. There will be a pop quiz. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll get you coming and going from services. You never know. I might call you out right in the middle of a service and ask you to define the gift of healings. So be ready. Amen? The gift of the working of miracles. The gift of faith. You never know when I'm going to pounce. So get good notes. Amen? Hallelujah. God suspends or overrides the laws of nature. And once the laws of nature are adjusted to suit His needs, God moves according to the laws of the spirit realm through a human vessel. You want to get this. The working of miracles always happens through a human vessel. And I'm going to explain something here. That's why I'm going to go slow. You'll come to understand this better as we go through the other power gifts. The working of miracles, God actually allows a human being to perform the miracle. God doesn't perform it. He allows a human being to perform the miracle. He loans them His power for as long as it takes for them to perform a miracle that He's desirous of performing. And then after that miracle is performed, that power is not available to that individual again until God determines otherwise. The gift of faith, God works a miracle for a human being. The gift of faith. We'll talk more about that when we get to the gift of faith. With the gift of faith, when it's in operation, God is doing the performing for that individual, supernaturally providing or protecting for someone. He does it for them. When the gifts of healings are in operation, God heals through a human vessel. He heals through a human vessel. But when the working of miracles are in operation, God's not performing for that human being. He's not performing through that human being. He's actually allowing that human being to perform the miracle. Watch out, I might whoop it up here on that one. Woo! I said God actually allows the human being to perform the miracle through the use of His power, but the human being actually performs the miracle. Amen? Something else you need to notice and put it in your notebook, if you would. This gift is not called, as we've heard it, called the gift of miracles. It is not the gift of miracles. It's called the working of miracles because the human vessel or the angelic vessel actually performs or works the miracle. Amen. Now, angels can operate in all of the gifts of the Spirit. We see them operating in all the gifts of the Spirit in the Bible, with the exception of tongues and interpretation, but that doesn't mean that they can't speak in tongues as far as I know or interpret tongues, amen? Angels operate in the same gifts that we operate in because they're part of the same family. Angels can work miracles. Angels can perform healings. Angels operate in the revelation gifts. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits can operate through an angelic being just like they can operate through a human being. And you'll see that as we go through the series. Does that kind of make you scratch your head and wonder? Amen. But angels do that. Amen. I'll give you an example from Acts chapter 12 when Peter was in prison. Herod had him in prison and was going to execute him over Easter. And as Peter was sleeping at night in his prison cell, he was chained to two soldiers. There were four quaternions of soldiers. I believe that's 16 soldiers assigned to his cell. Inside and outside, make sure he couldn't get away. He was chained to two of them in a prison. And an angel came and smote him on the side, and his cell filled with light, the Bible says, woke Peter up. But supernaturally, the angel was able to cause the soldiers to stay asleep. But he woke Peter up. The cell was filled with light, but nobody woke up but Peter. The angel was supernaturally keeping those soldiers asleep. The angel spoke to Peter. He said, "Get up, put your sandals on your feet, and throw your cloak around yourself, and follow me." And as soon as he said that, the chains fell off of Peter's hands without the angel touching them. See, God suspended the laws of nature and supernaturally caused those iron shackles to fall off of Peter's hands supernaturally without the angel even touching them. He just spoke and they fell off. That was God overriding the laws of nature through an angel's words. You see, an angel did that? An angel did that. Not a man, not God. That was a miracle because the laws of nature had to be overridden to knock those shackles off of his hands supernaturally. And then suddenly, the prison cell door opened on its own with no one touching it. Possibly just the angel looking at it and just thinking, open. And it opened. It's supernatural. The laws of nature were being suspended by this angel of God on behalf of the man of God. Not only that, but they passed down through the corridors, and one gate after another opened as they approached them, with the angel saying nothing, doing nothing. Just as they went through the corridors, the gates opened all through the prison, and nobody in the prison saw them. That's the laws of nature being overridden. Those doors opened supernaturally. As a matter of fact, the word that is used for those doors opening in the Greek is automatos. The doors opened automatically. They were automatic doors. Amen? Now that's supernatural. And those miracles that were being performed to deliver Peter were performed by an angel. How about the angel in John chapter 4 at the portico, at the temple? People would hang all around the little pool there at the portico waiting for the angel of God to trouble the waters supernaturally. And as soon as those waters troubled, the first person to hit that water was healed supernaturally. The laws of nature were suspended. That angel from another realm was able to come into this realm, override the laws of nature, trouble that water, and somehow cause some sort of healing anointing to be in that water. People would hang around for days and weeks to be there when the angel came to trouble the water, to be the first one in, because the first one that would jump in would be healed of whatever affliction they had for however long they had it. You'd be instantly, automatos, and effortlessly healed. That's supernatural. So can you see? That's John chapter 4. And Acts chapter 12, there's many other examples of angels in the Bible performing miracles. But that's enough just to cause you to see that angels operate the gifts just as much as human beings do, operate in the gifts just like human beings do. Amen? Keep in mind that when the gift of the working of miracles is in operation, God's using a human being or an angel to cause that supernatural event to occur. That's what happened to me when I was delivered from drugs and alcohol addiction 26 years ago. God sent His angel to supernaturally override the laws of nature on my behalf, place His hand on my head 3 times. You know the story. You've heard me tell it before. I never get tired of telling it. God gave me this testimony to instill faith in other human beings. Amen? Faith comes by hearing. So I'm going to share it with you again. 3 times. The first 2 times, when that giant, giant, monstrous hand touched my head, I jumped up and went all through the house, every closet, every cabinet, every door, every window. I checked to see who's hiding in here, who's tampering with me, who's playing with my mind. Granted, I was high on drugs at the time, but that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean that that wasn't a supernatural presence. I wasn't imagining it. I wasn't imagining it. I'll tell you why I wasn't imagining it. After that happened the second time, I went all through the house making sure, because I felt a physical hand on my head. I felt it physically. And it was the hand. I could feel the digits, the fingers. But they were too big to be human. It was like somebody came up behind me with a baseball glove on and was messing with me. Well, I determined there's nobody in the house. I went through every room, every cabinet, every closet. You name it, I looked. I checked the doors, make sure nobody was coming in and out. Checked the windows. I was locked in there. I had been doing drugs on my own in there for 3 days. The third time I laid down on that sofa, that hand came on my head. And some sort of power came out of that hand. I've now determined that, have been able to ascertain, to discern, according to the precious holy written word of God, that was one of my angel's hands. That was a delivering angel sent to me some sort of power. It felt like hot liquid honey or hot liquid love. There's no describing it. You do the best you can, and all you do is blow it. Paul said when he was in heaven, he said he saw things in heaven. When he was in heaven, he said he came back to earth, and he said, when I was there, I saw things that were unlawful to utter. We would say today, when I was in heaven, if Paul was alive today, he would come back and he would say, when I was in heaven, I saw things there that defy human language. There are no words to describe what I saw when I was in heaven. That's what he meant by things that were unlawful to utter. They defied the laws of human language, and they defied the laws of human reason, and they defied the laws of human understanding. And what happened to me defied the law of nature, the law of human reason, the law of human speech. I cannot properly describe what that was that came into me. There's nothing like it in the earth. So I get as close as I can, and still, I'm not getting the job done. Whatever it was that poured into me, it was the love of God. But it felt, it was tangible, it had substance, and it poured into me. And it felt like hot liquid love. That's as close as you're going to get to it right there. And it came down my head, came my shoulders, down my arms, into my hands, down to my waist, my torso, down my legs to my feet. My hands and feet were so bitterly cold from circulation, my poor circulation from all the drugs I had been doing, and alcohol I had been drinking, hadn't been eating properly, hadn't been sleeping properly. And then suddenly I lost consciousness. And I woke up on the third day. I laid there. I know you heard this already, but I'm talking about an angel coming into my life through the working of miracles and supernaturally overriding the laws of nature and setting me free from every human and demonic bondage and compulsive human behavior. I laid in the same position for nearly three full days. I didn't dream. I didn't eat. I didn't snore. I couldn't have. I didn't get up over that period of time and use the restroom. I did not change positions. I woke up 3 days later. I was in the same position I was in when I laid there, and that power began to flow out of that giant angelic hand into my body. I do not believe that I was breathing during that time. I don't believe I was. Somebody said that's not possible. I said, well, okay, that's not possible for you then. It happened to me. That way, Maria Woodworth Eder, I told you, at the turn of the century in St. Louis, Missouri, she was preaching in a tent meeting. Right in the middle of her sermon, she stopped preaching with her mouth wide open and stood there. For three full days, she stood there. The St. Louis newspapers covered it. You can go online and read about it on the internet. People still looking it up today. Matter of fact, we have her testimony on our website as it relates to my testimony, because basically the same thing that happened to Maria Woodworth Eder happened to me. We get hits from people all around the world on our website looking for Maria Woodworth Eder. They'll key in a search through Google or Yahoo, whatever, and they'll put in Maria Woodworth Eder, frozen in place. And they'll end up on our website because I've included her testimony with my testimony. Because I tell how what happened to her happened to me. She stood there for 3 days. Three full days. Over 20,000 people filed by this close looking at her. Looking at her, frozen solid. Grown men tried to grab her collectively together, pick her off the floor, and get her out of the tent. She was frozen to the floor as by an act of God, the working of miracles. She couldn't be moved. Grown, strong, adult men could not pick her up and move her. She stood there for 3 days. She didn't blink, she didn't talk, she didn't breathe. She was not breathing. All accounts given say she was not breathing. People checking her pulse, checking her breathing with a mirror, a piece of glass, whatever. She wasn't breathing for 3 days. That's why I insist I wasn't. I just laid there, did not dream, did not move, did not change positions, did not eat, did not drink. And when I woke up, 3 days later, I was supernaturally set free from cocaine, amphetamine, and alcohol addiction, and every other drug. Amen? That's supernatural. That's the working of miracles. The laws of nature were overridden and suspended by that angel through whatever it was he was imparting to me, whether it was the anointing, the love of God, whatever that was that came into my body, caused the laws of nature to be suspended over a three-day period to where I do not believe I was breathing, just like Maria Woodworth Eder. 20,000 witnesses in her case, all to say, yep, she wasn't breathing. She couldn't be moved, frozen in place. 3 days later, she picked right up where she was as the people were filing by, the lines of people who were coming from all over Missouri to see her. She picked right up and started preaching right where she had left off 3 days before. That's the working of miracles. She didn't breathe. I don't believe I was breathing. That's the working of miracles. The laws of nature are always overridden when the working of miracles are in manifestation. Amen? Well, who caused now, if God causes a human being or an angel to perform the miracle, who did it in Maria Woodworth Eder's case? I don't know. Probably an angel. Probably an angel, because that was the working of miracles. The laws of nature were suspended in her case. And always in the Bible, when the laws of nature are overridden or suspended, and the working of miracles goes into effect, a man or an angel causes it to happen. God uses a human being or an angel to do it. So it could only have been with Maria Woodworth Etta as it was with me. An angel came and caused that to happen on her behalf, just like the angel came to me. Do you believe that? How about my friend Ronald Coyne? Ronald Coyne had his eyeball surgically removed as a 7-year-old boy. When he was an 8-year-old boy, evangelist Daisy Gillick prayed for him, and he began to instantly see through an empty eye socket. God performed that miracle through Daisy Gillick. She performed the miracle. God anointed her, enabled her to perform that miracle when she prayed for that boy. He began to see suddenly. Ronald seeing through an empty eye socket where he had no eyeball, wouldn't you call that, wouldn't you consider that the laws of nature being suspended or overridden? Ronald could see through an empty eye socket, crosswise and contrary to every law of nature. He could see with the plastic eyeball in. He could see with the plastic eyeball out. Somebody said, I don't believe that. And I said, well, don't you worry about God ever coming around bothering you with miracles. He knows that you don't believe. Amen? God's not going to insist that you believe. But to those who do believe, you're a magnet to the Spirit of God. You're a magnet to the gifts of the Spirit. People who don't believe in the gifts, don't see the gifts operate, and then they turn around and they say stupid things like, well, if the gifts of the Spirit were in operation still today, I'd see them, but I never see them. I don't believe in them. Well, you're perpetuating the problem in your own life. You don't believe. The Bible says that the gospel is the power of God to those who believe. You believe in the gifts of the Spirit? You believe in the working of miracles are still for today? Amen? Let's go over here to 2 Kings chapter 2. I'd like to show you a biblical example of a man actually performing a miraculous feat in 2 Kings chapter 2. Amen? 2 Kings chapter 2. Keep in mind, God actually allows the human vessel or an angel to actually work the miracle, utilizing his borrowed power for the moment. People who operate consistently in the working of miracles can't just do it at will. It's according to the will of God. We just read over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that all of the gifts of the Spirit function only as the Spirit wills. Amen? Well, if so-and-so could work miracles, how come he doesn't go in and clean out the hospital? I've heard people say it. If it was true, why don't you just go in and clean out the hospital? And you want to say, you bless your darling dumb heart. The Bible says that the gifts of the Spirit operate only according to the will of God. We can't turn the gifts off and on. We can't even tell God what gifts we would prefer to operate in. Even though the Bible says that the Holy Spirit distributes to each of us several gifts, at least two or more, at least two, according to His will. He tells us what our gifts are, and He determines the consistency with which they will or will not operate. It's totally up to the Holy Spirit of God. He knows things we don't know. If I could turn on the gifts of healings and the work and the miracles whenever I wanted to, I'd be going around probably healing people who would hurt them to be healed right now. The people, they need to repent. Amen? You'd get carried away and stop misusing that power. Only the Holy Spirit determines. Only Jesus, John 3:34 says, was anointed without measure. He was the only living human being who could operate in all of the gifts of the Spirit, every gift of the Spirit Jesus operated in, and not be tempted by the gold, the glory, and the girls that would throw themselves at him because of it. Did you hear what I said? I couldn't handle, you couldn't handle the gold, the glory, and the girls like Jesus could. Amen? Or if you're a woman, the gold, the glory, and the guys. Amen? People be throwing themselves at your feet. Amen? Come pray for my daughter. I'll pick you up in my jet, and when you're through, you can have the jet. You'll be taking every order in the world. Only Jesus could handle that. Amen? Stephen Jeffries operated, I believe, in the working of miracles and the gifts of healings. He was from Wales in the 1920s, I believe, early 1930s. He operated in these gifts, in the gifts of healings and in the working of miracles. He saw supernatural, instantaneous healing of the worst forms of arthritis, still even to this day. They said in his services, when he was preaching, you could hear bones cracking as people sat there getting healed, getting their body straightened out. You could hear the healings as people were being supernaturally delivered from the worst forms of arthritis. Stephen Jeffries, after operating in those gifts for a number of years, one night stood up on his platform and he said, the whole world is at my feet. He began to steal God's glory. He couldn't handle the power. He couldn't handle the gold. He couldn't handle the glory that was being thrown at him. He started believing all the wonderful things people would say about him. He couldn't handle it. Within a short number of years, that man died of a terrible form of arthritis, the very thing that he got people delivered from because he began to steal God's glory. See why only Jesus could be anointed without measure? He was God. He wouldn't steal God's glory. Only Jesus could handle. Women threw themselves at Jesus. You can be sure homosexual men threw themselves at Jesus. People threw money and gifts at Jesus. Jesus was tempted to steal God's glory, the Bible says, but he sinned not, the Bible says. He was tempted in all points, yet without sin. Just like you and I, tempted, but yet without sin. Only Jesus could be anointed without measure and not yield to the gold, the glory, and the guise that came into his life as a result of his power. My point is, none of us could operate in all of these gifts the way that Jesus could. We're not God. He was God. Amen? So the Holy Spirit determines who's going to operate in what gifts and when they're going to operate in those gifts. It's for our protection. Now, I believe that corporately as a body worldwide, we can share in the power of Jesus. We can corporately as a body worldwide operate in the gifts to the same degree that Jesus did, but none of us can as individuals. People who got even close, Jack Coe, Stephen Jeffries, A.A. Allen, these men of God, other individuals, I can't think of any other names right now. Who? John Alexander Dowie. Woo! You need to get a hold of Christ for the Nations and get the life story of John Alexander Dowie. He operated in healings and miracles, probably greater than anybody. He operated in the power gifts since Jesus Christ walked in this earth. He ended up standing up telling people he's Jesus. Standing up telling people that he's Elisha, come in the flesh, he's the second. He was gone after that. He was gone right after that. Gone right after that, died prematurely. God didn't kill him, he did it to himself. This is why we cannot determine what gifts we have and when we will operate. The Holy Spirit determines who can handle what and when and how. Amen? But corporately, that Jesus said, the works that I do, you shall do, only greater works I shall do. When he said you, he's talking the whole body. Collectively, corporately, as a body, we can do the works of Jesus. But no one single human being can do what Jesus did and can handle what Jesus could handle. Amen? So we're going to go over here and look real quickly before we close in 2 Kings chapter 2. Just one biblical example before we close tonight of a human being actually performing a miracle through this gift. You get anything out of this tonight? Hallelujah. I'm just going to look at this quickly. 2 Kings chapter 2. Look at verse... let's go back and do it at verse 11 right here. Came to pass as they, Elisha and Elijah, still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. See, he never died. God's taxi service came, pulled him right out of here. Amen? And Elisha saw it and he cried, my father! My father! See, Elijah was his spiritual father. The chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. It was a form of grieving. He knew, I'm not going to see my spiritual daddy until I go to heaven now. He loved him. But Elisha had dropped his mantle. And look, Elijah, he took up also the mantle of Elijah. Elisha picked up Elijah's mantle that fell from him. And went back with that mantle. It was like a cloak. He rolled it up. He stood by the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. He smote the waters. Slap, slap. He hit the waters with the mantle and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. That's supernatural. The laws of nature were suspended as Elijah hit the waters with the mantle. Elisha hit the waters with the mantle. And listen, this was no trickling brook. This was the great and mighty Jordan. That's a huge river. The waters parted side to side. Just like Moses did at the Red Sea with his staff. Caused those waters to congeal and to stand up and allow him to walk through supernaturally. The laws of nature were suspended. The water stopped flowing. He hit the waters with that mantle. They splashed, spread apart, and stayed there. Who did that? Who did it? Elisha did that. He performed the miracle. Whenever you see the working of miracles in operation in the Bible, a human being or an angel is always performing the miracle by the power of God. When Ronald Coyne had his eye opened, Daisy Gillick performed that miracle. But she just couldn't go out after that and look for everybody in the world who's missing an eyeball and start praying for them to see. It's probably the only time that ever happened in her ministry. But she performed the miracle with power on loan from the Most High God. It didn't just happen through her. She performed the miracle. So when the working of miracles is in operation, a human being or an angel always performs the miracle. Now, Sandy's not here tonight. We'll see to it electronically that she gets this message. God's going to do the same thing for her. She has faith for that. She's believing God to do that. Hallelujah. She's fired up about Brother Ronald Coyne's testimony. She understands that God is no respecter of persons. What he does for one, he desires to do for another. And we believe that what God did for Ronald Coyne, he will do for Sandy. We believe that we knew Ronald Coyne personally on purpose and that we know Sandy on purpose. To encourage her in the faith, to continue to believe for this miracle. But you need to be praying for Sandy, because when that miracle occurs, which it will, it's going to change your whole life. It's going to change your whole life like it changed Ronald Coyne's life. He was in demand worldwide from the time he was just 8 years old until the time he was 43 years old. He was in demand by ministers, ministries, churches all over the world. So much so that it caused him to die prematurely because he didn't know how to handle that miracle properly. He didn't stay in the Word. He didn't stay in prayer. He didn't stay in faith. He didn't control his diet. He didn't control his appetite. And the devil was able to destroy that precious miracle of God to where that man ate himself to death. My estimation is that when Brother Coyne died, he probably weighed around 500 pounds. When we knew him, now I'm not saying this critically. I'm just saying the importance of controlling our lust, controlling our appetites. Praying for Sandy, when you see this miracle happen, this miracle is going to happen for this woman. Amen? I'm just confident that it's going to happen for her. She needs to be prayed for. People didn't know to pray for Ronald Coyne. Brother Coyne was so big, when he came, I asked him to come and demonstrate that miracle for us in our church, which he did. He popped that eyeball out, covered up his existing eye. He read everything everybody in that congregation gave him, just like he did on Geraldo Rivera, just like he did on Sally Jesse Raphael, just like he did on Phil Donahue, just like he did on Oprah Winfrey, time and time and time and time again. They clamored for him to come whenever he wanted. They just constantly wanted to demonstrate that on TV. And he always told them, "I'll come and I'll do it. But as soon as you tell me I can't talk about Jesus who did this for me, I'm gone. I won't come back anymore." Said they never bothered me. Well, praise the Lord. Ronald took a chair and he sat down on it on our platform. And he was so overweight, his abdomen was so big, he had to pick his abdomen up and have someone take a chair facing him and slide it under his abdomen to hold him while he sat there. He sat in one chair and picked up his abdomen while another chair was slid under his abdomen. That ruined that testimony. More people, towards the end of his life, didn't want to hear that testimony anymore, because he looked like his life was out of control. He looked like a fraud. He looked like, and he wasn't. The miracle was real. I confirmed it on two occasions with him. He could see where he had no eyeball. But he didn't control his appetite. He didn't control his diet. He didn't stay in prayer. He didn't stay in the Word. And the devil took him out. Hallelujah. And I'm not putting this man down. I love this man. He's a sweet man. We went to lunch with him one afternoon, and he ate three or four desserts before he ate two or three main meals, and then he ate dessert again. He had a monstrous, monstrous appetite. He needed deliverance, is what he needed. Amen? He ruined that miracle. Hallelujah. I'm not putting him down. We loved him. He's so sweet to me. He was so sweet and so kind to me. He's a good man. But he's gone now, and these things need to be said. Amen? Sandy is going to receive her miracle. And when she does, she's going to need people backing her up by faith, because it changes your whole life. It changes your whole life. You can pretty much go anywhere, call your own shots, do anything you want. People throw money at you, invitations at you, material things at you, food at you. Amen? Hallelujah. The working of miracles. It doesn't operate in any one human being's life or ministry the way that it did in Jesus' life and ministry, because any one individual today couldn't handle it. We're not God. We're created in His image and we're created in His likeness, but we're not God. We can't handle it. So the Holy Spirit determines who, what gifts are going to operate through, and how and when they're going to operate. Amen? So people who say, well, if those gifts were in operation like they were in Jesus' ministry, how come we're not seeing miracles all the time? Well, there's your answer. There's your answer, amen? But still, we have a responsibility for the gifts to be in, to be believing for the gifts to be in operation in the church, particularly the power gifts to be in operation in the earth today, because they are the dinner bell to salvation. When they're in operation, the lost come running, amen? People in the world do anything to see a miracle. That's why they follow false gods, false religions, make-believe disciplines, false doctrine, amen. Anybody promising a miracle, the world will clamor after them, run after them, amen. We're going to see in our lifetime the greatest, most spectacular outpouring of the Spirit of God in the history of the human race. We're going to see these gifts in operation. They're coming. They're coming. And when they do, it's going to mean a full house. People come running when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation. I want to encourage you, believe God for the gifts. Paul said, look right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as we close. We'll close with this verse of Scripture. We did all right here tonight, amen? You got the definition, you saw a scriptural example. I explained to you, these gifts are still in operation in the earth. Amen, I've seen them. I've seen them. I've seen them. I've seen them. That was a miracle. That was the working of miracles being performed in my life by an angel who knocked me under the power of God with whatever He filled me with from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Whatever that was that poured into me, put me out cold, supernaturally overrode and suspended the laws of nature. I laid there for 3 days. I do not believe for a minute I was breathing. When I came to, I was a different man. And I found out, good Lord, this is how I really am. Amen? Supernatural deliverance. Amen? Performed by an angel of God. Supernatural miracle performed on Ronald Coyne's empty eye socket by Sister Daisy Gillick. She did that just like the angel did that to me. Do you understand that? The laws of nature are overridden and God allows an angel or a human to perform a miracle. We're going to be seeing more of it. One reason we don't see more is found right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 31. 31 as we close. Look what Paul said. He said, covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I'll show you a more excellent way to have the gifts operate. Then he goes into the chapter on love. Amen? That's a good way to get the gifts operate in your life. Start walking in love. Stop grieving the Holy Spirit of God if you've not been walking in love. But Paul said, covet. Covet the best gifts. Covet them. Pray for them. Earnestly desire them is what that word covet means. Pray for them. Ask God for a manifestation of them, not just in your life, to glorify you, make you look so super spiritual, but for the gifts to operate in the earth. Here on the Cape, in our church, in Cape Cod, in Massachusetts, New England, America, and in the nations of the world. Paul said, covet them, and they'll come into operation. When we don't pray for them, when we don't covet them, they don't come into operation the way that God wants them to. Amen? Pray for the gifts of the Spirit. Covet them. It says, covet the best gifts, the Bible says. What are the best gifts? What's best, Pastor John? The power gifts, the revelation gifts, or the utterance gifts? Paul said, pray for the best ones. What are the best ones? whichever one you need right now, Helen. Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, Helen took over during the offering tonight. She took over during the main service. Helen's going to be preaching for us this Sunday morning in Jesus' name. That's exactly right, Helen. The best gifts are the ones that are needed most at the moment. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the gifts of the Spirit. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for that which you are about to do for Sandy. What's Sandy's last name? Fredette. Sandy Fredette. Father, we've prayed with her. We've placed ourselves in agreement. This woman of God is about to see a supernatural miracle in her life. We thank you for it ahead of time. Father, we thank you for the gifts of the Spirit. We covet them. We covet the best gifts, Father, the ones that you determine are needed in this church so that your will can be done. The gifts that you determine will be in manifestation on Cape Cod, in Massachusetts, in New England, in America, and in the nations of the world. Father, we ask you to glorify yourself through the gifts of the Spirit in operation, the revelation, the power, and the utterance gifts, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the gifts of the Spirit. That's how you do it. Thank you for the gifts of the Spirit in operation in this earth according to your will, Father. We ask you to glorify yourself through the operation of the gifts of the Spirit in this earth in Jesus' strong name, for that's what they're all about, to help man and to glorify God. Amen? Oh, God, we don't just seek the gifts, we seek the giver. We seek the giver. We give you praise. We give you glory, Father. We give you honor. And as we do this, as we give you praise and glory, as we covet the gifts, Father, we will see greater manifestations, greater operations. Father, forgive us for not coveting the gifts the way that we are instructed to in the Scripture. Forgive us, God, for putting off on you what you're putting off on us. You said covet the gifts, and they'll be in manifestation. So we do that here tonight, Father. We earnestly desire, we yearn for these precious gifts to be in operation, God, to the benefit of man and to the glory of God in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Do you believe that?
Yes.